are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, September 29th, 2015. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, ladies and gentlemen, I travel back in time to a time where I co-hosted a program called The Majority Report with the great Janine Garofalo. And to commemorate that time, joining us on the program today will be the great Janine Garofalo. Also on the program today, RICO indictment for Exxon executives? If these climate scientists have their way, that's what we'll see. Also on the program today, water on Mars, bitches. Apparently it's there. And as an added bonus, I break down how Rush Limbaugh dupes his stupid audience. Meanwhile, first they came for Bonaire, and I said nothing. And then they came for McConnell. And I said a lot when they came for Bonaire, and I will cheer quite loudly when they go for McConnell, too. Could McConnell be next? And Carly Fiorina, since we're going back in time, basically mashes up two or three of my favorite, well, I don't know if they're my favorite stories. They're sort of like my bete noire stories of economic malfeasance. And Breitbart cracks open the case on the 14-year-old Ahmed Mohammed, who brought in that so-called clock into that so-called school as a so-called invention. But Breitbart still heavily on the case. They have blown this thing wide open. Turns out this kid has a history, ladies and gentlemen, and they're going to let you know it. You think you can just escape having a history because you're 14 years old? Ha! No, you cannot, sir, or shall I say, young man.
Child.
Your middle school pranks don't fool us. We know what you're really up to. Folks, I mentioned this on the program yesterday. You're out to dinner. You look over the menu. Perhaps maybe we'll have some seafood because I don't want to eat red meat and I want something that has some protein, healthy, slimming. I got to fit into my long pants soon because it's becoming winter. But what am I going to order? Well, when I go out with Nikki, we've got a chart that we actually go and use. And it's not the most easily accessible chart and whatnot. Well, eating wild seafood means sorting out the rights, wrongs, and downright scary of the seafood industry. We're here to help. Oceana is a new kind of conservation group dedicated to saving the oceans while feeding the world. Visit oceana.org/majority report to join the campaign to bring back healthy wild fish to your plate and to dinner tables all over the globe. I mean, the fact is, folks, that our fish supply, we need to manage it when we're talking about our wild fisheries. Join now. They'll send you a copy of their book, The Perfect Protein. It includes sustainable recipes from top chefs and an easy guide for how to eat seafood responsibly. Find out what wild seafood to order and or how to prepare it at home so you can keep enjoying the food you love while protecting the planet we share. That's oceana.org/majority report. Use the offer code today. Help save the oceans while feeding the world. Go check out that site, folks. I know we got some emails from a couple of people who are like, just be vegan. And you won't get an argument from me that vegan is the most conscientious way to eat. I went through a period where I was vegetarian, and I went back to eating meats and proteins rather quickly. But look, go check out the site. Nevertheless, if you're not a vegan, you're not a vegetarian, you do eat fish, you could be a pescatarian, and this would be even that much more important to you. Go check it out. It's definitely worth a look. Did you want to say something, Michael?
I remember you telling me that being vegan was the most conscious dietary choice you could make, literally while you were mashing into a chicken wing.
When did I say?
We were out to eat once, and we were talking about food, and you were like, no, I mean, vegan is obviously the way to go.
Right.
You were literally grinding a chicken bone.
20-some-odd years ago, Sarah Silverman is a vegetarian.
Vegan or vegetarian?
Vegetarian. I believe vegetarian. I don't even know at that time if I knew there was a difference.
Oh, vegetarian is no fish. It's just you eat dairy.
Yeah, I believe she eats dairy. I believe. And so for the most part, I was also a vegetarian because she would sort of look at me a little bit screwy if I was eating, you know.
You were whipped, basically.
Well, you know, I just figured, look, it also is a better way to eat, I think. And but I got to tell you, the moment we broke up, the first thing I did was went and go and ate meat.
I like how Michael looks at your girlfriend trying to make you eat better as your whipped man.
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, look at you with Matt.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if he starts eating well, are you going to say, oh, you're whipped?
Apparently, how would you like this that? Girl has really not had Matt whipped because she's had no success
in
years.
Terms of you saying that to Matt.
Oh, in terms of also, he should be whipped by me. It would improve
his
life.
One more note. Look, shopping is awful. Nothing is more true in my mind. I mean, I don't like to go to stores. I don't like to browse stuff. Here's the problem. One still has to dress oneself, and most people like to dress themselves nicely. With Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in the mall again. Takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million, all with the new fall styles. At trunkclub.com/majority, you answer simple questions about your style, preference, and size, and are assigned an expert stylist. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve of what you like. And just like that, a trunk arrives on your doorstep filled with handpicked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't in their prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service, folks. You pay for only the clothes that you keep from your trunk. There's no hidden charges, just great clothes. Right now, their entire styling service is free. Even the shipping. You pay for only the clothes you keep. This is an amazing deal and, I guess, I don't know, technology, but it's just an amazing idea. Nikki does this with shoes. from another place. To take advantage, go to trunkclub.com/majority. Trunkclub.com/majority. One last time, that's trunkclub.com/majority for a trunk filled with clothes you're going to love wearing. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Janine Garofalo will be joining us. We are back. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report on the phone, finally, ladies and gentlemen, is the one, the only Janine Garofalo. Hello, Janine.
Hello. Now, Sam, what was the problem? What exactly?
I don't know. When you had told me that you were doing a movie upstate, okay?
Yes.
Last time we talked. So you gave me a 518 number.
Yes, your number.
Well, I didn't know what that number was because that was an old number that I used to use. So I didn't
recognize.
Well,
you should check it out because your voice is on it. It says Google Voice. We'll try and locate. And you say Sam Cedar.
All right. Well, then I got confused.
So when I showed you that number, you said, and I said, is this what I call? And you texted back, yes, exclamation
No, you did not say, is this what I call? You just said that number, and I assumed, oh, that's the number I call you.
Oh, for crying out loud. Why would I assume that when it's your number with your voice? But let's not fight. This is not what the people need to hear.
I didn't say that you assumed it. I said that I assumed it.
Okay, now you're upstate where right now?
No, I'm not. I'm in Brooklyn.
Oh, for crying out loud. I was upstate. I was in Harrison, New Rochelle, Beacon.
You've been all over upstate New York. It's really mid-state. Really, I mean, sort of the Hudson Valley.
Okay, the Hudson Valley, which is sort of near where you
Yes.
are sometimes.
Yes.
Beacon, very nice. And I would say, what is it, Hamilton or Harrison? Buy a property. Where's the George Washington monument, the statue thing?
The statue? I think the Washington Monument would be in Washington, D.C.
No, not that one. There's his house, one of George Washington's headquarters or something. It's one of those towns that is, shall we say, an emerging district.
Oh, really?
I would say buy now.
Okay, I definitely will, of course.
Even though it's very economically depressed, I noticed a wine and cheese shop with jazz on Thursday nights come in. So when you see that happen, that's when you know to buy property because soon you won't be able to afford it.
Now, the wine and cheese shops are invading.
With jazz.
Invading. Well, Hudson, New York has also gone just batty crazy.
The housing market.
Well, just the whole thing. It's just like, I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
How about that Redding, Connecticut?
Oh, my gosh.
Dinkle-link-a-link.
Janine,
how
have you
been? We could talk about the housing market all day.
I was asking, Matt said, like, Janine has not been on since Thanksgiving. And I'm like, that's not possible. But it is possible, Janine.
Is that true?
Yeah. What are you trying to pull here?
I guess I'm playing the baloney card, as Mabel Normand, silent film star, used to say. Stop playing the baloney card. I had no idea it was that long.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Now, I know that you went out to do Wet Hot American Summer, and I'm going to say, to be completely honest, I only watched the first two episodes.
Oh, that's okay. I haven't seen it either.
Oh, well, but you were in it, so you have an idea of what you did.
I have an idea. I've got the gist. I've got the general idea of what's going on.
I was so upset that you had basically a love interest with John Benjamin that I couldn't watch it anymore.
He was surprised about it, too, since he had not read the script when he arrived on set.
Yes, John is very, very professional. He definitely prepares for everything he does. And
he had no knowledge. I had to explain to him what was going on and why he was saying certain things he was saying.
I am not.
But nonetheless, he pulls it off. He's got the gift.
He's got the gift. He was very funny in it.
You went out to L.A. to do Marin. I saw you on Marin.
That's right.
My favorite ending in the world when you guys were the cops and it ended like a 70s cop show. That was a brilliant touch.
Oh, well, I can't take credit for that. The only thing I added to that was the line, Nobody, I skip over the part where you talk to go right to the interviews when I was talking about his podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, that people really appreciate that line.
Vintage cedar.
Because very few people actually listen to his monologue up front. Do you find that you, when you listen to WTF?
I actually don't listen to podcasts.
Of course you don't.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me if I listened to his monologue up front. And I don't not listen to podcasts for any reason. I'm not taking a stand. But as you know, I'm not tech savvy.
Oh, I do know that. Yes, indeed. So wait, so what have you been doing since you did? How was Wet Hot American Summer? Was that fun?
Oh, it was very fun. I enjoyed it a great deal. I've been doing stand-up. I had a small part on Gaffigan's show. I did a couple movies upstate. Right now I'm working on one called Blue Angel with Stanley Tucci. The Tooch.
Oh, tell
the
him
Tooch.
I say hello. I developed a show with Stanley Tucci's production company with him and what's his face? The guy from Boardwalk Empire. It's Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi. By the way, Steve Buscemi and Stanley Tucci are both big fans of you.
Oh,
so
well, that's
I
very.
I'd pass that along.
Oh yeah, no, we did it. I wrote a show for those guys, and we had a deal with AMC.
They're Majority Report fans.
Really?
And
as
was a British actor who's also in this movie, who I guess would listen to it in England. But
really?
Yes, but beyond that, I learned something. I had some terrible news to share.
Oy.
I mean, actually, something alarming happened.
Oy.
While I was working on this film, I learned that I've been using the word dearth incorrectly.
Wait, what word? You could sort of
dearth.
Dearth?
D-E-A-R-T-H, I believe, dearth.
How have you been using it?
I thought it meant a lot of something.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I know, it's horrible. It's tragic. This is one of the worst things that's ever happened to me. I was in a group of people, and Stanley Tucci was one of them. And, you know, you don't want to miss
Tucci's
being,
such
you know,
a great like
Tucci lives in London,
syntax,
for crying out loud. He cooks.
Syntax.
Grammar,
Nazi.
Syntax. Dearth. This has been going on for years, Sam. No one has ever corrected me. I'm assuming this has been going on for longer than it
has. Let me say this. I never heard you misuse the word. I found out recently that I also did the exact same thing with a different word. I can't remember what it was now. What was that word, Michael, I got corrected on?
Jesus, that's a ridiculous question in your case, and I'm sorry, I don't mean this mean, you know, I love you, but you use many words, you get a lot wrong.
No, my
and
pronunciation
you're very bright.
Is bad.
Don't misunderstand
my pronunciation
me.
Is bad, but I'm not, I don't generally misuse words.
That's true. That
I don't,
true.
I don't
I
recall this one.
There was
I don't
one
recall.
Recently.
I mean, your pronunciation generally, as Janine says, is a little...
Yeah,
it's a little
optimal.
Joe Pesci-ish. It's a little bit, it
little
falls
Joe
on the side
Pesci.
Of Joe Pesci.
I think you'll find it's Joe Pesci.
Is it Pesky?
Yes.
It's Cheney.
So Cheney. So Janine.
You know, every time Chris Matthews, he's a real stickler. I was going to say stickler. A real stickler.
He is a real stickler.
Cheney. I hope someday I'm around him when he says Adidas, so I can say Adidas. Adidas. Chris.
So what? So you've been busy. You've been doing a lot of.
Well, not really. It's just that. I have been doing a handful of things, but not particularly busy. But I am tomorrow, or day after tomorrow, I'm going to Washington to do the Benson Ball, curated by Tig Notaro.
Oh. What is the Benson Ball?
It's a comedy festival. I don't know how to explain it, but Tig Notaro curates it, or has been curating it. It's very LGBTQ friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in Washington, October 1st through 4th. Also, I just did a...
Do they know that you're not...
Everyone thinks I'm gay and Jewish, to which I say thank you, because it makes me seem far more interesting than an asexual atheist. So give me more texture, Sam. More texture. More dignity. Also, on Saturday night, I did a benefit with a really good group that supports reproductive rights called RAP, Reproductive Health Awareness Partnership. And Liz Winstead turned me on to them. She works with them. And in tandem with Planned Parenthood, they provide training to physicians to give specific reproductive care to women in economically depressed areas or where they don't have access to reproductive rights. And they also will fly, you know, they raise money, fundraise to get doctors to these people.
I don't mean to just gloss over that, but as you're saying this, it occurs to me like there's all these there seems to be, and I don't think we've ever talked about this actually, but there seems to be, you know, just as you're saying this, it strikes me that there's a lot of comedians we know who are now much more politically involved than people were, let's say, 10 years ago. Now, Liz, of course, was at Air America, so that's
right.
Not necessarily.
She's been involved for a long time, and she was at the Daily Show before that.
Right. But is my sense of that, is that right? I mean, because I remember, look, when you decided to do Air America and then ordered me to do it with you.
Yes, because I couldn't have done it without you.
But I remember there was a lot of, like, that, you know, from just like the comedy community, like, what are you doing? You know, like,
well, that was just from a lot of people in general. I would say in general, no matter what you do for a living, comedy, not comedy, most people tend to not want to get particularly involved. But also don't forget, after 9/11, it was a particularly hyper faux patriot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anxiety-ridden time. So that's a little bit of its own special case. But actually, I found the opposite is true with comedians and people in entertainment in general. They tend to be, in many ways, more involved or more, you know, there's a history of that going back, you know, since the beatniks, I would say that there has been people who are involved, whether it be artists, singers, actors.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Have been very involved and engaged. And also, there's also a history of political comedy.
I agree with all of that. And I think that it's just my sense is that, you know, and I don't know if it's just the stakes are slightly different, or maybe it's just that people of our generation are older and so they feel more secure and they're in more secure situations. But it just seems to me that comedians in general are more political than they were in 2004. I'm not saying that they're, you know, in general they are more political now than they were in 2004. But that maybe it's
that,
just
that
my observation.
Be.
Maybe
I
that's
mean,
not
I
the
really
case.
Don't have hard data on it. I do know that a lot of the younger
wait, you don't have hard data
more
on
diverse
it.
Diverse comedians are more politically involved in
data.
Different grassroots type things.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the case, though. I mean, I really do. See that because you know, I just remember. I remember there was a lot of like, you know, just I got a sense like when I would go out to L.A., just like, what are you guys doing? You know, like there was a lot of that. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, now there's a drought. You know, there's a drought in L.A. Obviously, as you know, and record droughts and record wildfires, and. You know, California has to get involved in different ways, and they have. And I think, you know, there's water restrictions and things like that people are doing in California.
Now, you never shower, so that's not really an issue.
I don't take showers. Right. I just take baths in a Roman style bath, so it's hard for me to find them. It's much like having a Tesla. It's very difficult to get your Tesla down Route 66, and it's hard for me to take a bath in the Roman style.
Right.
Be that as it may, Sam, going back to being politically engaged, I feel that culture and where we are in history has forced a lot of citizens to get involved at the grassroots level, to take care of things that aren't being taken care of above the civic level, because it's touching them directly. But I also think a lot of young people, the student loan debt thing, I think is going to be a very big thing. I read in the Village Voice that NYU's tuition is up to approximately $70,000 a year.
Oh,
now, that is absolutely insane. I don't even understand it. And there are some students, I live near the dorms, that are trying to protest. I know Bernie Sanders is very active in that kind of thing, Elizabeth Warren. But also, I am encouraged by certain things that have happened, like Jeremy Corbyn's victory in England. You know, even though their conservative press predicted, oh, he can't win, Like, he's like their Bernie Sanders, if you will. And he did win and I on September 12th. And I think that that's a really encouraging thing. Scott Walker stepping down is encouraging. AIPAC not getting their way with Iran is encouraging. Even, you know, Barack Obama in the Arctic is encouraging to me. So I think that there is a almost necessary or even sort of innate activism that is part of being a younger person these days. And then, of course, when people have kids, they get more involved in certain ways.
Right.
There's nothing but fundraisers for people's schools. I find that people with money have way more fundraisers than people who don't. Do you find that?
That people have money.
People who have money have a lot of fundraisers.
There's a lot of fundraisers, apparently.
Yeah.
And
middle-class people have a lot. I don't know what the stats are on working class and poor people having fundraisers, but I presume it's not nearly as many.
We go to one a year for Myla's school, and
right.
The rest of them I basically just rather just contribute directly because, one, I'm not that comfortable in those situations, and
right.
Two, I also just sort of feel like, I don't need to, I don't need the kickback. You know what I mean?
I can't tell you how many fundraisers for people's schools I do. And these are all in the service of keeping their kids out of public school, really. Some of them are public schools. Some of them are. I'm not saying all. A lot of them are PS, what have yous.
Right. That's the one we go to.
But in L.A., the great majority are private, with insane tuitions and still having the fundraisers because everybody says, oh, these L.A. public school systems are terrible. Unfortunately, this is like a self-immolating thing. If you keep denying the public schools these funds, they get worse and worse. And do you know what I mean? Like it's a segregation of sorts that happens. And I know it's a very emotional issue because people want the best for their kids. But the tuitions at some of the private pre-K through eighth grade schools, $25,000 a year? I mean, this is insane. And I don't know whether it's because these things are necessary, like with NYU, or because the market will bear it. People will pay it. But I was talking to my father who went to college in 1954, was his freshman year. It cost him $16 a credit or $13 a credit. Now, I know it was 1954 and he lived at home, but I think it cost him to go to Columbia all in about $500.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
And, of course, that was expensive for him at the time and he lived at home in the Bronx with his family, but he also was coming of age at a time when there was much more emphasis on access to education. You know, after World War II, obviously there was the GI Bill, things of that nature.
Right.
But that has to come back in. There has to be a movement, I think, and I think a lot of young people are doing this, to deal with the access to education and make it affordable. That is, I think, one of the most important things right up with climate change.
Well, there's two things. There's two things. I mean, one, and I actually think that you have done, and unwittingly, because I know that you would have refused it had you known this, a fundraiser for Saul's preschool, because Saul wasn't really going to that preschool yet. But it's a co-op school in Brooklyn, and he goes there now. There is no public preschool. There is public pre-K in New York City now, which is huge. It is just a huge. There was a story out today, actually, in the Daily News, I think it was, that more than half of the four-year-old kids who live in city homeless shelters are now able to go to public financed pre-K.
Oh, pre-K, yeah.
And so, I mean, that's like almost like, I don't know, 1,500 kids, I think. I mean, which is also just sort of horrible to think about that there are like 3,000 or 2,500 four-year-olds living in shelters. But to get those kids into pre-K is so huge for the kids and it's so huge for the families, because
and for society at large,
of course. And,
this has been the public education push, just from what I was trying to learn about it. You know, starting in the 1800s with people pushing for it. You know, more literacy, more public education in this country in the late 1800s, And then, you know, there's always been issues of wealth and the economic gaps between these schools. But be that as it may, then, you know, as I mentioned, after World War II, there was still a push, but unfortunately that was not as available to women and people of color. That's an unfortunate thing, and that type of stuff is always unfortunate. And actually, it's much more than unfortunate. That sounds so glib the way I just said that. Mm. But then it sort of went away. Now, certainly these things go away whenever Republicans are in trouble. The Reagan Revolution has done so much damage, if you think about it, in certain ways, from the 80s. And I was unfortunate enough to be sent off to college during the Reagan Revolution on my campus. Anyway, it was cool to be like Alex P. Keaton,
which is
not what you want from college.
I feel badly because I, while I didn't share his politics, I, as you know, at an early age was wearing sweater vests.
No, I know that you were. I read that on your Wikipedia page. Actually, somebody had to read it to me because I can't access the Wikipedia page. But I feel, like I said, encouraged by certain things that are that I feel like things have to reach a crisis point, and then something good can happen. And I feel like this may be a time, like a very exciting turning point. Now, I'm hoping that the Republican Party, you know, being exposed as it is. Now, this should have been clear to everybody, obviously, years ago, that mm-hmm. it's a joke, that it's a party that has long outlived its usefulness. I don't even know what to call it besides, like, the know-nothings. You know, people have said that before. I don't know what else to call today's Republican Party. They represent nothing. And Donald Trump being the face of it is, I think, a good thing in that it makes it look absurd.
Yep.
Although I don't know why it takes so much for people to see that, but
they're not even there yet. They're not even there yet. They will be as Trump's numbers continue to maintain. Eventually, people are going to have to come around to the conclusion that, like, this isn't a fluke. This is a genuine reflection of who these people are.
Well, guess what? Donald Trump is going to get off the train first. Believe me, he does not want to be president.
That's exactly my theory too, Janine.
Pardon?
That's exactly my theory as well.
Yeah, here's what I think will happen. There will be a press conference of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so far, I'm going to track this.
He's got to spend time with his family.
Oh, my God!
That young wife of his will be pregnant. Did you say this?
No, my guess is that he has the press conference, and he claims that a member of his family has an illness, which he's not going to say what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That it could be fatal, but he's not going to say who he's talking about because that would be disrespectful to them, and it would be disrespectful to the American public for him not to be able to give 120% because that's the way he operates.
Exactly. And he's going to say, and now he can always say, I could have won, I would have won,
yep.
I should have won. But he's going to take himself out if it gets too close, because the last thing he wants to do, much like George Bush Jr., was be president.
Right.
That's the last thing in the world these guys want. So he will take himself out of the running with some type of thing. I thought maybe he was going to, his wife would get pregnant, or there will be an illness, or some undisclosed thing. Now, uh-huh. It's either going to be him taking himself out or the quote-unquote establishment paying him enough, finally, to get out, to make it worth his while.
Oh, I think he's just going to say, I mean, it's already worth his while at this point. I think you're right. I mean, this guy's like, why would I want Air Force One when I have the Trump plane?
No Oreos for Trump.
Right. And I think.
No Oreos for Trump. He can't have Oreos anymore because he's getting fat on the campaign trail.
And I think what he's going to do is he's going to appoint the next president. I mean, I think that's what he's going to try and do. He's going to say, like, and I have, you know, I know Ted Cruz very well, and I'm going to be his campaign chair or whatever it is. And he's going to carry the mantle for Trump, you know.
He'll anoint someone. I don't know who it will be because he's probably as perfidious as that Mr. Wickham in Pride and Prejudice.
Hmm.
You know, Mr. Wickham.
No, yeah.
Who ran away with Lydia.
Old man Wickham.
No, he was a young man.
Yes, young man Wickham. Yes,
and
young
he, and
soldier
he,
Wickham.
He ran away with Lydia. Now, who will marry you with a fallen sister? Don't get me started on Pride and Prejudice, Sam. We'll be here all day.
Old Lady Lydia.
Anyway, Lydia was 15.
Right. Well, but she was carried herself.
Married at 15.
She carried herself with a lot of maturity.
Well, back in those days, it wasn't that unusual, you know. But anyway, Sam, we're getting off topic.
Right.
But Donald Trump is is, I think, an excellent face of that party. You know, his tax plan is so, I'm excited about it. It's going to make America great again. That's my favorite thing about it, is that his tax plan will make America great again. That's all you need to know about it.
He's got it on a hat. Come on, Janine.
Pardon me?
It's on his hat. Of course it is. Of course he's going to make America great again. It's on his hat.
Well, yeah, and also he just said it. And you know, Putin's a nice guy. That's all you need to know about Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump thinks he's a nice guy. So stop asking questions about Putin, and enough with the Ukraine. Be that as it may, Kevin McCarthy, he just reminds me of, like, I know he's from Bakersfield, but I just feel like, hey, Kevin McCarthy.
Right. Well, that's because your time.
Sully coming?
That's
Sully,
your time
Fitz,
in Boston and in Providence. You still have that whole sort of like knee-jerk response to an Irish last name.
And Kevin McCarthy. Oh,
Kevin
dude,
McCarthy.
Kevin McCarthy. He's going to represent agribusiness.
Paul Ryan came out for, who was it that he came out for? Was it, who did he, Paul Ryan come out for? For the guy from Georgia, the congressman from Georgia. Tom Price.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Tom Price is a, you want to hear an audio from Tom Price?
Sure.
Just to give you a little taste of what this guy is.
I'd love to.
Because this is the guy.
I'd love to.
They're not going to end up going with Scalise because, of course, of his, I guess, past statements regarding David Duke. So Tom Price is sort of like Scalise, but without his baggage.
Okay.
That's basically, and Scalise, of course, is like David Duke without David Duke's baggage.
The surgery, without having the facelift.
Here is Tom Price back in, I guess, 2012, February 2012, when there was this debate about whether or not we should make birth control accessible to women who of middle and low income in this country. And he really, Tom Price, wants to know exactly who it is that can't afford these multi-hundred dollar, I mean, what is it, like $700-$800 worth a year of birth control. Here it is. This is clip number 4.
But, you know, obviously one of the main sticking points is whether or not contraception coverage is going to be covered under health insurance plans and at hospitals, and whether or not they're going to be able to pay for it, especially for low-income women.
Right.
I mean, I guess, where do we leave these women if this rule is rescinded?
Bring me one woman who's been left behind. Bring me one. There's not one. The fact of the matter is, this is a trampling on religious freedom and religious liberty in this country. The president does not have the power to say that your First Amendment rights go away. That's wrong.
There you
go.
Bring
me one. I will slap her face. Bring me one. Bring me one.
Bring me one.
He is so vitriolic. That is so clearly about something else.
Right.
And that is. But I will say, you know, you said governor of Georgia.
No, he is a congressman from Georgia.
Congressman of Georgia, but they got enough to worry about what with the walkers. You know, they got a problem with the dead rising in Atlanta.
Well, apparently it's been a problem in California,
you know,
too, according to that other documentary, The Fear.
Other documentary. Now, Ken Burns is covering Atlanta, but Werner Herzog is covering what's going on in L.A.
You should be aware that the one of the set designers of that your
of Fear the Walking Dead.
No, of the original
of the Ken Burns documentary, The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead is a regular listener of this program.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Wouldn't it be great if there was a zombie that sort of looked like you or had just these trace memories of doing the Majority Report?
That would be awesome.
As they mumbled,
hey, you know
political
what?
Things.
I can't. What do you mean by mumble?
No, I mean because they're dead. They're just,
right.
Just
okay.
Little memories, just little faint rumblings of the past that was.
Or just a a Majority Report listener.
The difference, actually.
Or just a stuttering, just a constant stuttering.
Constant stuttering. There's some walkers going around saying, "Be that as it may."
That would be me. That would be my.
Well,
my
I you know, like I hear you say that, and I realize, like, I still say that all the time, and I'm quite convinced I must have adopted it from you when we were on the air together, and that was over like 7 years ago.
Although other people say it, so maybe you get re-upped anytime you
It's like a,
sometimes people say needless to say, or in any event, or as Ann Coulter says before, she's about to lie. In point of fact, that's her tell. We've discussed this before.
What happened to poor Ann Coulter? She seems to have really lost her
She
mojo.
Is one of the undead in Atlanta. She was one of the first to go. I blame her for the virus, actually. I think she's patient zero, if you want to know the truth.
Janine, are you as angry about what's going on with all these British people taking work from American actors?
No, I think they're wonderful actors. I am an Anglophile through and through and through. I think that they're taking out jobs, Sam. Actually, I think that they're it classes up the joint. It classes up the joint to have, because as a rule, the Brit actors also don't are not accustomed to lots of money and things.
Right.
They, you know, they have a much more meat and potatoes approach to their job, and they don't have as a rule, not always, have an entitled behavior that some actors do. Not all.
Tell us who you're talking about.
Oh no! I'm saying it does happen sometimes.
I know who you're thinking about, but tell us who.
John Benjamin.
Yes.
But
bingo.
I'm kidding. It's not John. It's John Glazer.
Oh,
I'm
boom.
Kidding. It's not John Glazer.
All right.
I was trying to think of another
third John.
Another John. There's got to be another John.
There's got to be another one. What's
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and there's got to be another one. Be that as it may. Sorry.
Who? What are you doing next?
Well, like I said, I'm going to Washington for the Benson Ball.
Right. But I mean, are you doing any TV shows? Are you going to be doing?
I have
movies?
No idea.
Are you going to come into the?
I would hope so. At thebensonball.com, if anybody is in Washington area and wants to go, Dr. Katz Live.
Oh, you're doing a Dr. Katz Live.
I'm doing
when is
Dr.
That?
Katz Live. I'm also doing a show with Dignitaro. And on the Dr. Katz Live is Jim Gaffigan, Morgan Murphy. There's also Blaria Live with Jessica Williams and Phoebe Robinson.
When is
Tim
the?
And Eric,
where are you doing
Tim
the Dr. Heidegger? Katz Live?
I don't know. I think it's the Lincoln Ballroom, but if you go to bensonball.com, it says where every show is.
So will Benjamin be down there too?
John Benjamin? I assume so, because a lot of times, but sometimes he has, because Laura Silverman and John can't make it, he has them have recorded off-camera things.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. Fair. Oh, I scratched my cornea recently, but it's better now.
How did you do that?
With my fingernail, I could have sworn there was a fuzz in my eye. I should have opened with this. This is what we should have talked about right up top. This is the gold, Sam, conversationally.
You know what I saw yesterday. We're doing a little bit of tech stuff in this office, and I was cleaning off a computer the other day and came across the video that we shot for your DVD with my daughter Myla,
which is a little baby girl.
Yes, crazy.
And you made her squat in the street.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She was real good. She was actually excellent in that.
She was quite good.
She's a natural, but she's used to being filmed 24/7, 365.
That is true. She is constantly under surveillance.
Yes, as is Saul, but I feel Saul doesn't like it as much. He doesn't take to it as much. He seems a little shyer.
He's a little bit shyer, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll beat that out of him.
Yeah, we'll get him there. We'll get him there. We'll get him to be a ham bone. Do you know that more people die from taking selfies than in shark attacks? I saw that little nugget on Adult Swim.
I did not know that.
I believe it.
How does that happen?
They fall or not paying attention and they get hit by a car. I don't know how it happens, but it happens.
And what do we? Where can people see you for stand-up? You're not on. We should remind people you're not on Twitter. You have no website.
No,
right?
There's a fake me tweeting and a fake Facebook me. That's not me. Well, I'm at the Stand tonight and tomorrow night.
The
here
what?
In New York, but
the Stand.
The Stand.
Where's that?
Oh, it's a comedy club on 3rd between 20th and 21st. I just jump on those shows on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays. It's you know, they have a bunch of comics doing a certain amount of time, and then I, like I said, I'll be at the Benson Ball, and then I'll be at Chicago at the City Winery in October, and St. Louis and Oklahoma City. I think October 27, 28, 29 is Chicago, St. Louis, Oklahoma City.
Fantastic.
What about you, Sam? When are you doing stand-up again? When are we going to get you back on stage?
I think it's going to be a long time. It's going to be.
When are you going to bust out that Lieberman character?
That Joe,
Lieberman's son.
When I sell all the DVDs that I have left of A Bad Situationist. So probably sometime in Probably the late 2020s, I would imagine.
Okay. Well, let's just hope by that time there is something has been done about that education. Hopefully that Pope Francis fella will help us out, not only with climate change.
Now, was your dad... Now, let me just ask you this. I know you have to go momentarily, I think.
I don't, but I think I should for the sake of your listeners.
Well, we could also go into the fun half of the program, maybe answer a couple of questions, maybe take a phone
call. No, that's okay, because I feel like I've bored everyone too much, and you're not talking about... people listen to you because they need... what you provide
people
them,
like
your,
a break.
Your intelligence
believe me.
And information.
People like
and
a break
I am
from
taking
me.
Away from that experience.
People like a break from me, Janine. But let's put the mutual admiration
society
aside
and,
for a
and
moment.
Switch to mutual destruction, mutually
right.
assured destruction.
Your
yes.
father,
yes,
right?
Carmine, yes,
Carmine, whom we hosted on our program many
yes.
times.
Carmine conservative
does
yes.
not share your political ideology, as you
he
say.
He does not. No.
And if I remember correctly. A still a practicing Catholic.
Oh, he's very, very. He and his wife Joan are very involved with their church. In fact, most of they're retired now. He's 78. Most of his free time is involved, and this is a very positive thing. He is volunteering at the church, things of that nature. He is always doing something with the church that is one hopes socially.
What
positive
is it?
Thing.
What does he say about the Pope?
He actually would never say anything negative, I think, about the Pope in general. I'm sure he would disagree with some of his free market opinions about capitalism and the free market.
Have you asked him, or you just don't want
I
to
I have
go
not,
there?
Actually.
You
it
don't want
has
to go
not
there.
Occurred to me, but my dad, I talk to him every Sunday, and he did say as a joke, so did you see the Pope, knowing that I...
Your favorite pope.
Wait,
you finally
wait, no,
got
but,
one
but,
that you can like, right?
But he would actually... I told you this story about... I know this is going to be ridiculous, but when Kurt Cobain committed suicide, this was my father's... Hey, your buddy killed himself. That was it. I don't know Kurt Cobain. And it was with such almost like flippancy that, your buddy... killed himself. Like as I don't know Kurt Cobain. I was certainly a fan, but my father found it so distasteful, the public display of mourning for him. But actually, he has mellowed since that. He's not quite as cynical about such displays. But he probably would assume, this Pope I would be much more open to.
Well, I would recommend that on Sunday you go like, hey, your buddy. Your buddy had a lot to say about climate change at the UN, huh, Dad?
That Pope?
Yeah.
Pope Francis we're talking about.
Right.
Now, he of course, like I said, will never disparage a Pope.
Right.
But he probably would think that he's a little, like, liberal, in the same way that... As the Supreme Court, whoever the next president is, it's very important who the next president is for Supreme Court stuff because of the age of a number of the justices, right? My father's concern is that it won't be conservative. You know what I mean?
Of course.
He's very concerned about that. Like, it's just still not conservative enough for him, the John Roberts Court.
Right. Oh, no. I think there's a lot of conservatives who feel that way, that it's just not it's not quite conservative enough. They need like really like six Alitos, I think, in their mind.
Right. And so he feels vaguely anxious about like a liberal pope, quote unquote, and what will happen to the Supreme Court. But as he gets older, he doesn't have it in him to get as upset as he used to and as I still do.
Right.
And also, I have dialed down my engaging him on these issues because he also is losing his hearing a little bit.
Right.
So, to me, as much as it's hard for me to stand down, I do it more often now because for the first time, my father's showing his age. He really held the line there for a very, very long time. And 78 is not terribly, terribly old.
Right.
His wife's mom lives with them. She's 103.
Wow.
So if you think of it that way. But my father really was very, very vital and active.
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked.
Physically for a very long time. He still goes to the gym 6 times a week, though, believe it or not.
Wow. I'm pretty shocked to think that when he would come in studio, he must have been in his late 60s.
Right, but he looked quite young.
He looked definitely younger than that to me. And the thing that terrifies me is that Saul's not even going to be out of college when I'm that age.
Right, but that's not unusual these days. That's the way it goes now.
Yeah, what are you going to do, right?
What are you going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Can't get in a spaceship and go back in time. Yet.
Yet. Ah, they almost said in unison.
Janine.
Yes, dear.
It has been a pleasure, but next time I want you in studio.
Okay, yes, the pleasure is mine. And let's nail down. So this 917 number is the number just in case from now on. Is that what you're telling me?
That's correct.
I should discard any 518 numbers I have.
Right. I don't know why that other one didn't work.
Well, you should, you know, you're paying for it. You have a voicemail and everything set up, an apparatus still with that 518 number.
Yes. You know what? I just don't use that as our calling thing anymore.
Well, it's bleeding you dry, friend. It's bleeding you dry. The cost of that thing?
It may very well be. Janine, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Sam.
I'll be
And good luck with that sports channel.
What, the sports show?
Aren't you starting a sports show, channel, something?
There's a sports podcast.
Yeah, I don't
launched.
Understand it. I didn't know you were a sports guy.
No, I'm not on it. We're just producing it. It's called Sportocracy. This is a great opportunity for me to... And what we're doing is asking our audience to subscribe to it and give ratings to it or reviews to it to get it up in the iTunes rankings. So that we can grow that show and that show can be a way of funding this show.
I see. Yes. Pete told me about it.
Oh,
so,
thank
and
you.
I was like, what?
Pete.
And I thought maybe he likes baseball. Does
I mean, I,
have a
you
team?
Know, I do like sports, but I'm not proficient enough to host a show. I mean, particularly because, I'm constantly reading about politics, and so I don't follow sports in the way.
Yeah,
that
but every
I used
once
to.
In a while, there's a good old Deflate Gate, right?
That
we have
is,
a whole controversy.
I can
Gosley.
Tell you that whole thing was totally bunk.
Hey, the siphoning of air from a football.
Total bunk.
Is a very big deal.
And I will add too that this whole lid has been blown off of the Tom Brady supports Donald Trump thing. That, Janine, you know,
yes.
Also bunk. Total bunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about sports. About sports.
About forts
about
or
forts.
Sports?
Sports. But I do know that when Gate is attached to something, it's got to be important, right?
Well, of course. We put
or
Gate
else they
on
wouldn't.
The,
you know, the Watergate reopened in Washington, by the way, in PS.
I didn't
summer.
Know that. You should stay there.
I know. I was thinking that might be something. It's now a hotel, a high-end hotel.
Well, there you go.
That would be pretty exciting. And they recreate Nixon's plumbers breaking in every Friday night. It's exciting. And then they break into Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office.
Yes. They just keep reliving the whole thing.
They relive it and relive it. And it's hard for them to keep Xeroxing the Pentagon paper, so it takes forever, and it's a huge waste of paper. But
they don't use
exciting.
A mimeograph machine?
They need whatever 1973 thing
I think that was
happening.
Like mimeograph,
to get the Pentagon papers
right?
out. A Xerox machine, for Christ's sake.
I don't know if that's what they used, but Janine, always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Right.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, Janine Garofalo. We've got to get her in studio. Next time we will. So, yeah, folks, go on to iTunes, search for Sportocracy, download the first couple of episodes. We've got another episode coming up in the next day and a half. We're going to post another one. But subscribe and rate and review. It has been fantastic. The response from this audience has been fantastic. And I know some of you not interested in sports. Some of you are. But all of you have responded really well. And so if you are... Which means that we need those last few people who have not to go and subscribe. It's pushing the show to the top of the what's new, what's hot charts. And again, if we can launch this show and do it successfully, we're both getting a sense of how we launched the show and doing it successfully, but also ultimately a show about sports does not have the limitations on an advertising side that this show does. And although we have picked up a lot of advertisements the past like month, I think that's because it's the end of the fiscal year. I'm not 100% sure about what's going on with that. But a sports show can then be, you know, a source of revenue for this program in a way to launch some other shows. And some of those shows that we launch coming up, I think you're going to have more interest than others, depending on who you are. But of course, they're all going to be pretty consistent with our disposition here on this program. So the although we're seeking the, you know, Matt keeps bothering me about doing his rifle and longbow show that he wants to
That's
do.
That's true.
But also, yeah. Folks, to support this program, become a member today. You can join at jointhemajorityreport.com. We love our members. We exist because of our members. So please head over there. Tomorrow on the program, in the fun half, we will have an announcement about the future of this program, which is going to be changed. And then I think we'll probably announce it on Friday's freebie show. But I want to give members an inside track. There's going to be it's going to be a little bit emotional, I think, for some people. Also on this program, also you can support this program by going to justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. If you buy crap from Amazon, buy it through our Amazon link at majorityreportkickback.com. It's the least you can do. Skim off of Jeff Bezos's profits. What else? What else do we have? Give us a review on iTunes. Majority.fm/review. It helps. Makes a big difference.
Just look at Sportsocracy.
Indeed. All right. We'll be right back after this.